Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah, and Randeep Janda. We are the People's Show. Let's bring in our next guest, Ian McIntyre. You a lemon guy or a prune guy?
Is there really even a choice between those two? Tell me a prune guy. There hasn't been a prune guy since Thurston Howell III.
Sorry, what?
That's Gilligan's Island. That's a little before
okay,
you guys.
Thank you.
I just thought I'd drop it just to see whether there was any familiarity whatsoever. Clearly not.
I got to say, that was very impressive, though, Ian. Usually, most guests would be rattled by, are you a lemon or a prune guy? But you were ready. You were ready to go.
Yeah. Now, I don't like to stereotype, but I missed the start of your conversation, or most of it. I heard Gondola and Venice and Riccio. So are you typecasting that Riccio, because he's Italian, should be a gondolier? Or just
no.
Imagining that he could be a gondolier?
It wasn't quite that overt. He was complaining that when he's doing his Zoom calls, his background is very boring and just this beige wall. And we were giving him suggestions like blur your background. And he said he's going to use a green screen. And then they went through, you know, where he might go. And I said, well, for you to be on brand, it would have to be a green screen of Venice or something.
Well, I could totally see that. But then he would have to put on the little gondolier's cap with the flag thing that waves off it, the ribbon. I think the gondoliers wear that. Plus, they wear that sort of striped navy hoop shirt. And I know that Riccio's already got that.
I'm just like thrilled at the amount of knowledge IMAC is spewing about gondoliers right now. I believe
wouldn't that be a great nickname for the Venice team of anything? The Gondoliers?
Venice FC Gondoliers. That's what they'll be called in the future.
IMAC, I think you started a new nickname for Reach. I think he's the gondolier going forward.
What does a gondolier trade deadline look like? Like, what do you acquire?
You hand out spokes.
A longer oar, I think.
How did we get here?
I don't know. He's Ian McIntyre.
I think those guys make pretty good money, too. That's what I'm guessing. It's like the horse-drawn carriage drivers. What do you call that? How's the show going so far? Is it the people in Central Park who have horses and a carriage? What are those?
A driver, IMAC.
Isn't it a coachman?
Coachman. I go with coachman. I think those coachmen are making a lot of money. I think the gondoliers are too. Like, probably not, especially if you narrow it down, maybe hourly wage, it's okay. If you narrow it down to, like, a fancy stat of dollars per 60, like, these guys are raking it in. Because if you're flying halfway around the world and you're seeing Venice, which, by the way, I don't know if you guys have been, it is one of the most beautiful cities in the world. The people, when I was there as a young man with no money, they weren't too receptive. But, you know, it is a beautiful place. So if you go around there as an adult and you have a little money because you're staying at a hotel somewhere, you're not going to take a gondola because it's, you know, $60 for 10 minutes or something. I'm thinking about doing that in retirement. I'm tall, so I might not get under the arches of the bridges. Riccio doesn't have that problem.
I knew a short joke was coming eventually. It is Ian McIntyre, quadruple threat here on Sportsnet 650, on the Canucks on radio, television, and digital at sportsnet.ca, and apparently an expert on gondoliers and coachmen.
I'm a little bit loopy. It's been a long day, and so I'm kind of loopy. Dan Murphy's probably listening. He's jealous because he's always telling me before we go on TV, bring energy. I don't have energy, but I have loopiness, and sometimes it kind of interchangeable.
Well, now we know we just got to get you to talk about gondoliers, and that'll bring up the energy. How about Adam Gaudette, though? That's been the big Canucks story of the day. How did we get here with Gaudette, where he's a 33-point player of surprise last season to traded for Matthew Highmore, who's another fringe NHL player?
Yeah. Well, it really is a giveaway, and I think probably the Canucks understand that, although they like Highmore, and maybe he'll turn into another Tyler Mott, maybe he won't. But I think Vancouver does this with the full knowledge that, you know, Gaudette can turn into something. You know, he has he has obviously a lot higher offensive ceiling, we think, than what Highmore has. But the fact that the Canucks were confident enough to do this just tells you what kind of conclusion they've made about Adam Gaudette, that, you know, for all that he's shown, if the team thought he was going to develop into a good top six forward or a reliable bottom six forward, I don't think they'd have made the deal. But, you know, even last year, which was his breakthrough year, and I thought Adam was terrific during the regular season. Remember, at playoff time, he wasn't playing. And when he did play, he wasn't playing much, and he wasn't getting much done. And so the seeds of this trade, I think, were actually sown last summer. And I know that the Canucks did talk to teams both during and after last season just to kind of plumb interest. I suspect that their conversations weren't nearly as serious for trading Gaudette as they became this season, when we know that earlier in the year he was linked both Nashville and Boston in trade discussions. And so it's just, you know, it's kind of cruel, but in a way it's just a team that's seen enough of him to believe that he's not going to fit their plans. And so they move on from him. They get a prospect back, and we'll see how it goes. But there's no question about, you know, the Canucks giving up the more established or the better player at this point. But they just don't think Gaudette's going to be part of their future.
It's very clear, Ian, that they don't believe in him, right? Because if you believe in him, you go with him for next season. And at this point, considering, you know, what his qualifying offer would have been, close to $1 million, I don't think they wanted to even pay him $1 million next season to come back. And I know you made the point, from your understanding, is this had nothing to do with the COVID situation.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I can only report what I'm told. And yeah. I'm told by multiple people in the organization that this had nothing to do with it. And on the surface, I would tend to agree with that because, again, I just laid out the time frame over which they have been exploring a Gaudette trade. So this isn't like, you know, 3 weeks ago they liked him. Now all of a sudden, oh, you know, what's happened? And is it his fault? And are players upset? And, you know, I don't think that's the case. I don't think it had anything to do with it. But again, I'm reporting what I'm told. But my sense is that would be accurate. I mean, we know hockey players. The guys, yeah, there might be some players who are really disappointed in Adam, and none of us know exactly what happened. You know, it's supposition on our part, but we know that Gaudette was patient zero. But I mean, these are hockey players, and they tend to rally around each other and stick together. And I'd be absolutely stunned if we found out that, you know, there was an uprising or so much discontentment with Gaudette among his peers that the team felt he had to move. The aspect of it where I'd say it is at least a little more plausible, and I'm not saying likely, it's a little more plausible because of the market that we play in, that maybe the team and Gaudette thought it's going to be hard to kind of, you know, play through this, because people will never forget that he was the first guy to get it. And so maybe from that standpoint, it's just a little easier for him in his career if he plays, you know, somewhere else from this point on. But as far as it being the main driver of the trade, I don't believe that. But, you know, that's just me.
No, I tend to agree with that based on the fact that we were having these questions about Adam Gaudette dating back to last year of where does he fit on the Canucks roster? What is he? Another move that they did make was they shipped out Jordy Benn to Winnipeg, brought back a sixth-round pick. And now this is a moment for Olli Alevi to show what he's got, right, IMAC?
Yeah. Yeah, I actually like kind of the tinkering they did at the bottom of the defense today. I like the fact that they have Bowie, because it gives them, you know, the flexibility for the expansion draft. It gives them some depth protection if guys like Sautner and Brisebois and Rafferty leave as unrestricted free agents after this year, I mean, you do need to have somebody who's good on your minor league team and can come up to your NHL team. And maybe Bowie will be better than that. But I really like the idea that you got something rather than nothing for Jordy Benn. And as a consequence of that, there's now all of a sudden a lot of opportunity for Olli Juolevi. And although this month, it's just a brutal schedule. And we all know that. I don't know what I can say about it that people haven't already said. It's crazy. It's ridiculous. Crazy is what Tanner Pearson said today. But for people like Olli Juolevi who want to have a chance to play a lot, learn a lot, show a lot, this is a great opportunity for him. So I like that move. And by the way, I just had another thought on Gaudette, which I'll bother you guys with. You know, the two names that we've heard the most this year, and even going back to last year, are Adam Gaudette and Jake Virtanen. And I believe there was a time where the Canucks could have moved Jake Virtanen for an okay draft pick. Like, let's say it was late second. And they chose not to because they were looking, you know, they thought he was worth more, obviously. Otherwise, they would have made a deal. And they looked into this season, and then they chose, you know, they pulled back a little bit, didn't make a deal. They have been talking about Adam Gaudette for a long time. So as modest as this deal may seem today, and maybe it turns out that Highmore isn't a player at all. Maybe he spends a year on their minor league team next year and is gone. But there's no guarantee if they're really set on moving on from Adam Gaudette that they're going to get a better deal. And I think they probably looked around. I know that they talked to a lot of teams. And I think at the end of the day, they'd already sort of made this mental decision. They knew that they were ready to move on from Gaudette. So then it was just a matter of making the best deal that they could. And maybe there wouldn't be a better deal than what they got today if they continue to wait.
I guess one of the big criticisms is that Jim hasn't gotten enough draft picks, and you just mentioned that about Virtanen, but why is it that this team just hasn't been able to collect draft picks in these types of situations?
Yeah, I can't answer that. You would have to get Jim on the show and ask him. I know that, as you guys will, what he has said in the past, and the best example, or at least the highest profile example, I would say, was the Thomas Vanek trade, where people were outraged that the Canucks couldn't get even, you know, a fifth or sixth round pick for Thomas Vanek, and that was the deal. They ended up getting Tyler Motte, who was largely derided at the time, and I didn't deride Tyler Motte, but I didn't think he was going to be a player, and it turned out he was. I don't know why. They haven't had more draft picks. I think they haven't had as few as what maybe some people think. I think for the most part they've had their share or slightly more at bats over the time that Benning has been here. But of course, a lot of those years the team was awful, and they were in a position to try to sell pieces and gather more picks. And at the stage that they were in when they were awful, they needed more picks. You know, they could have used more picks. So, but I can't answer that. If they could have got a draft pick for Adam Gaudette, I think they probably would have taken that over Matthew Highmore.
Ian McIntyre is our guest here on the People Show on Sportsnet 650. And Ian, and I do think, as much as there's been talk about Gaudette and all this sort of stuff, I do think today was somewhat instructive in terms of what their plan is to some degree moving forward. Number one, getting Bowie to, for expansion draft purposes, we know that now they can protect Myers as well and all that sort of stuff. And when it comes to who they added as far as Highmore goes, it's also a depth guy in a one-way deal next year, same as Bowie, that's not making a lot of money. And they're kind of filling in those depth roles at a cheap number. So it is kind of interesting looking at how they use the trade deadline to answer some small questions for the expansion draft and also the offseason. And I do think it's instructive that they're probably not going to be spending a lot of money on project guys trying to fill those roles in the bottom six and also as depth defensemen.
Yeah, well, we know they just don't have a lot of money, which is the overriding problem here, which is why they need to look for value and need to look for guys who are under contract for $725. The other part about the timing that works well is the Canucks are going to be so needy in the next month just for some energy and healthy bodies that once Bowie, who's spent all but two games this year on the taxi squad, and Highmore, who has been a healthy scratch nine of his last 12 games in Chicago, you know, once they serve their quarantine, they should have a terrific opportunity to actually play and play significantly. And I don't mean that Highmore is going to be, you know, on the power play and Bowie's going to get top 4 minutes, although, you know, anything is possible. We have no idea what the lineup is going to look like on Friday yet. But they're going to get a chance to show something in the next month. And so from the Canucks' perspective, by the time, if you figure that, you know, today was all sort of the start of getting ready for next year, and they're minor moves, but it is a little bit of tinkering with an eye to next year. If you look at it from the Canucks' perspective, they're going to have a lot more certainty or a better idea about Highmore and Bowie because they're going to see them now between now and the end of the season. So it's a little better for them, and it certainly is better for the players who want to show that they belong at this level. But it's a little better for the team as well that they actually get this period to sort of audition them and have a much better idea going into the summer. Okay, is Bowie a legit NHL depth option for next year? Is he a legit third-pairing guy, or is he, you know, a minor league guy for depth, a good minor leaguer that you can call up if you have injuries? And same with Highmore. Can he actually play, even on a fourth line, can he be an everyday player for them next year? Well, they're going to have a lot better idea of that once they see these guys play, you know, whatever it turns out to be, 15 games, 13 games between now and the end of the season.
I am now looking up Google images of gondoliers. They seem to wear red sashes around their neck and waist. The hooped shirt with blue stripes across the chest. It's not a look for me, I'll tell you that much.
Blackburn Rovers. Alan Shearer could be a gondolier.
I guess so. Thanks, iMac.
See you guys. Have a good show.